This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts. It's
Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Jared Salt Lamakia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
Baseball isn't boring. Once again, we're out to prove it. Starting the week with a bang. A bang being a retirement podcast. Yes, a retirement podcast. Josh Lindblom joins us on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast to do his first interview since at 12:45 on January 12th. He retired. He retired via social media statement. I'll get to that in a second. But before we do, I just want to thank everybody who's been listening to the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. On the socials at BB Isn't Boring, Instagram, Twitter, and buy the merchandise at the Baseball Isn't Boring merchandise. And I plead with you to keep doing it. Keep doing it because we got a lot of momentum heading into the season. I want everyone to go subscribe to the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. I want everyone to leave a nice review. I want everyone to listen, leave suggestions, whatever you have to do. I mean, we're here to just talk baseball. There's so many different ways to do it. This is why we're doing it. We've had a ton of good guests. I could rattle them off, but maybe I'll put them on social media first 2.5 months. But go subscribe, go rate, go review, go do all of that. As I tell my father, I try to explain this to him. If you subscribe to the podcast, what happens is that all of a sudden, when you wake up, because we have it up 6 a.m. at least Eastern every day, every single day when you wake up. So if you subscribe, it's going to pop up on your phone. So you open your eyes, you look at your phone, and first thing you see, boom, Baseball Isn't Boring. The Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, talking the great game of baseball. And all you have to do is use your finger, hit play. There you go. It's like magic. My 89-year-old dad knows how to do it. You should do it too, because it's worth it. It's a great way to start your day. And this is no exception, a great way to start your day. Josh Lindblom was nice enough to jump on board. I didn't really know Josh at all. I had followed his career, certainly in the last couple of years after he came from Korea, won the Cy Young first, then won the MVP second of the Korean League, KBO, and then signed a 3-year deal with Milwaukee Brewers. But at 35 years old, he decided to retire. He still had something left in the tank, as he proved. But listen, I found it fascinating. I always find it fascinating what it's like to hit the send button when it comes to retirement. And I want to read his statement, which we'll talk about on the podcast. His statement, this is what he said in his retirement tweet. A good friend of mine asked me before the start of the season, what does it look like to finish well? I woke up every morning for 7 months with that question in mind. This is what I realized. Most of us don't get to choose when we finish. We don't get a chance to write our own endings. But what we can write are all the moments leading up to whatever the finish might be. The fact of the matter is we never know what moment will be the last. Finishing well is about living each day with the end in mind. It's about making the most of whatever moments you have until the end, whenever it might be, arrives. For 30 years of my life, I played a game that taught me about more than balls and strikes, hits and runs, and wins and losses. It taught me about life and made me the person writing this letter. I cannot thank everyone who has impacted the person I have become through the game that I love. So I know this, if you were a friend or family, a teammate or coach, front office personnel or concession worker, grounds crew or media, fan or child, and we interacted, this letter is for you. And it is my thank you. As for what's next, I might be done, but I'm not finished. And that's signed Josh Lindblom. And I think that you hear that letter, you hear that statement. This is what our whole thing is about. Baseball isn't boring because it impacts so many different facets of life, including, by the way, when you have to sort of rip the Band-Aid off and start anew. And this is what Josh is doing, why reflecting on all the different things that he went through, a second round pick, traded for some really, really important players, making the decision why his wife's still in the hospital after giving birth to go to Korea, and then going to Korea, coming back, how baseball has changed, all of it. Like, this is not an easy decision. And this is why we wanted to talk to Josh. And he was nice enough to use this forum, to use this podcast to explain exactly why he did what he did and look back about his journey. So I think it's a good one. Once again, thanks to everybody for listening to Baseball Isn't Boring Stuff. We'll keep going. For now, let's start the week with a good podcast, a good interview, the Retirement Podcast with Josh Lindblom. All right, baseball is not boring, and I have proof once again. When you have someone who has committed, I'm going to say like 90% of their life to baseball in their 35 years, then you know it's something good, right, Josh? How you doing, Josh?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, of course, man. Like, listen, it's an honor for me to have you. Like, I've been following from afar last couple of years, certainly. Your excellence, listen, when you win an MVP in the league in 2019, just a couple of years ago, you know you're doing something right. So. And then you did that obviously in the KBO, but in case people don't know that, you know, Josh, you know, you have a great career that goes back to the 2008 draft, being selected in the second round. And I want to go through a lot of that. I want to talk a lot about sort of how baseball has changed and all of that stuff. But, you know, just the other day, I don't know how many interviews you've done since you pushed the button on Twitter.
You're my first.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well,
so congrats.
I sincerely feel honored. And so what we're talking about is that you retired just the other day on social media. And you know, Josh is talking with about a month ago, Brock Holt had a similar situation. Mm-hmm. He had to do the same thing. He said, man, like when I pushed the send button on that, it was hard. It was hard. Yeah. And so this is one of the dynamics I want to talk to you about, because it doesn't matter, you know, what level your career has gone, whether it's a short career, whether it's a long career, whether it's a Hall of Fame career, whatever it is. As I said at the beginning, we're talking about investing, being identified as something, being invested in something, and basically saying, okay, you know, this is the next part of my life. But it seems maybe logical. Well, okay, you end this part, you go in the next part. But to say, all right, you know, I have to rip off the Band-Aid here. I have to say, I am moving on. Talk to me a little bit about the decision, if you could.
You know, it's interesting. I feel like I've been preparing for this moment, for probably since my first year in Korea. You know, when I went to Korea, it wasn't a place you wanted to be. Like, it wasn't a destination. Going to Asia was kind of like the death sentence on your career at the time. So, you know, if honestly, it wasn't hard to press send. Really? If I'm being honest with myself, I was probably in my mind, I was done last February going into spring training, but knew I had committed to finishing out the year. And, you know, I just got to a point, where I wanted to be dad. You know, you do this for so long, and I love this game. You know, like you said earlier, I've spent 90% of my life playing it, but just, it was weird talking with a few friends. It's like, I knew that I was ready. It doesn't make it any easier. You know, we're in the off season now. And I know when I go to pack up my bag, beginning of February, it's going to feel a little weird And there are going to be some emotions in that. But at the same time, it was something that I was ready for.
Well, so I read an interview, Josh, that I think you did maybe at the end of last year. And you were talking a lot about that, about like, you know, I can get off the exit and go home instead of going to the park, whatever yeah. it is. And so when you're going through last year and and you're spending a year in AAA and you feel like, okay, you know, normally you're like, I'm going to fight. I'm going to get back. I'm going to, I'm in the last year, you know, I'm going to be a free agent. I'm going to show everybody that my 36, 37, 38. And this is another part about it, Josh, too, is that the way that the world of baseball is going is pitchers are figuring out more than ever how to pitch in their late 30s, right? But for you, it sounds like, hey, you know what? I probably could, but I want to prioritize this other stuff.
Yeah, you know, this is – it wasn't really about ability, I don't think. I could have continued pitching. My body felt fine. My arm felt fine. But, you know, just – I think just thinking back through my career, there's a lot of – I mean – this could probably be a 2-hour podcast if we were to break down every step along the way. But there's this weird kind of feeling as a baseball player. Like, you don't ever want to think about the end. You don't ever want to think about that day that it comes. Like, we need to focus on the moment. But so if we rewind a little bit back to 2017, our youngest daughter was born with a congenital heart defect. She's had 2 open heart surgeries. And, you know, I remember vividly in my mind, I looked to my wife and I said, you know, I don't need the game anymore. And in that moment, I was freed up to view the end of my career in a different light. And I knew that every day I showed up to the park, well, I was one day closer to the end. And I can point back to that moment of like a career altering trajectory, because that was when I started to have success, was when I wasn't holding on to the game so tightly.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So, you know, just the preparation of that, it was, you know, it's weird because, like, you know, don't think about the end of your career, like, worry about today. But it wasn't until I started realizing each day that I show up, like I said, I was one day closer to the end. So each day I had to was really, really important. And then I was able to let go of, you know, the results. You mentioned identity earlier. My identity was no longer in the results, how I did, who I was playing for, where I was at. It was about what do I need to do that day to get better.
So when you're going through this, you're going back to sort of the retirement decision, did you talk to a lot of people, I mean, about literally just say, hey, listen, when you retired, whether it's Rick Sweet or like your manager or whoever it is, because almost everybody that you come in contact who's a coach, who's a manager, has gone through this. So did you say, what was it like when you pulled the Band-Aid off? And I would imagine that there was a lot of different stories, right? It's so how did you talk to a lot of guys?
Yeah, I think just being around the game, you see the way guys handle things. You're able to observe those things, talk with a few friends, about the process, you know, because it is a process. It's, you know, there's a grieving process, I think, like you said, where you were doing one thing and then your life is going now in a completely different direction. And you know, like any other grief process, it just takes time. And it's something that's unique to each individual, I think. But having people that I could talk to that also were away from the game was really, really beneficial for me.
Did you feel – so we had I had on Rick Porcello a couple of months ago, and I covered Rick with the Red Sox, and he sort of just disappeared. You know, he went after 2020 with the Mets. He didn't sign with anyone. Then another year went by, and he just sort of disappeared. And he went to build a house, literally with his hands, with his brother up in Vermont. But he shows up at this event that I'm at, and we're doing a podcast. I said, hey, listen, here's your chance. Say you're retired. Okay, I'm retired. And then next thing you know, like, so the podcast was, he says it's on Friday. The podcast gets released on Monday. And all of a sudden you have all these like tributes, like Red Sox or former teammates and everything else. It is weird, like that. that moment, and I don't know if you get a lot of that because you've impacted a lot of people. Like you have your career, you impact. Did you get when you pushed? Like you said, it wasn't hard to push send, but was the reaction what you thought it would be? And did you get a lot of reaction?
Honestly, I didn't know what the reaction was going to be. Like you said, I really is kind of overwhelming and humbling, to be honest with you, because I don't ever from a career standpoint, like nobody looks at my career and is like, we're going to miss that guy. Like, oh, dang. And then I never felt like I did anything that was that special, not from a performance standpoint, but I just felt like I was always being myself. And I guess I didn't realize how many people, like you said, I had impacted through the course of my career. I just didn't feel like I had done anything special. It was like it was just one of those things where it was like my wife was like, you know, there's people that have followed you your whole career. It's been a long time. Like, you just need to say something. And she was the one that really encouraged me to say something, because honestly, I probably wouldn't have said anything. I would have disappeared like Rick did and been totally fine with it.
But it's good. I think it was good for Rick, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he was of the same mind. Okay, whatever. But I think it's important, and you deserve that. And it's interesting to go back to something you said about sort of when you went to Korea and letting it go. People should understand, you were the guy, man. Like, you were a second round pick, 2008. And you were the guy. And on top of it, here we go. We'll do a little do you remember this in your life? You were traded for some good guys, man. You were traded for some good guys. Can you give me the first two guys you were traded for?
Shane Victorino and Michael Young.
That's pretty good.
I always joke around because that period, I think I was traded like three times in a span of like 18 months. So the joke I always say is like, man, at that point in my life, I didn't know if everybody wanted me or nobody wanted me. And then I'm getting traded to these organizations like Shane Victorino, World Series champion, key part of that World Series team. Michael Young, face of the franchise. Like, when you think Texas Rangers, it's like Nolan Ryan, Michael Young. Like, they're on the Mount Rushmore of the Texas Rangers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
So it's like, I'm going to these like no win situations. Like, who's this middle? Like, we're trading this middle reliever for Michael Young. Like, let's get serious here.
Well, that's how it works too. If you're trading for those guys, for those fan bases, like, you're in the crosshairs. You know, we had a situation in Boston where, you know, Mookie gets traded. Man, I mean, Jeter Downs, this guy, I hope he goes off and has a great career, but he was just DFA'd. It was just like, he was like, from the get-go, every question is about Mookie. Yeah. And I don't know if you went through that with Victorino and Young, but did you? Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not, you know, that whole trade process is not easy, especially for being – You know, it was my first full year in the big leagues when I got traded, and Yeah, it's just mentally. It's, I mean, that process, you know, this is like our life, this is our livelihood. Our entire lives revolve around this. And then to be, I don't think people understand outside looking in how devastating of a process that can be on both ends, and then how hard it is to transition and have to still perform. It just adds to the complexity of it.
Well, it dovetails with what you were talking about with the pressure and the mentality of the game. And real quick, I want to throw in one more name that you were sort of affixed to, who was DFA'd so you could get called up. Do you remember this with the Rangers?
Derek Lowe.
Another good one.
Funny. Derek Lowe was probably more influential in my career moving from the bullpen to the rotation than anyone, like any player and teammate. I get a text message, Derek Lowe, it's DFA'd. Derek's sitting in the airport watching me pitch, send me a picture of me pitching on TV, telling me how happy he was for me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Derek's unbelievable teammate. Unbelievable.
When you talk about the impact that he had on you, like what was some of the, did you pitch the same way, or how did that whole manifest itself?
So, Texas Rangers, I get traded. I'm in the bullpen. I have a terrible spring training. Last day of spring training, they bring me in. We're in San Antonio, playing in the San Antonio Dome or whatever exhibition game. They bring me in the office. Josh, you're not going to be on the team. We want you to start. And I'm like, I've only ever been a reliever. Like, what? Start. So I go out. Derek and I were sitting at this card table. And I'm like, Derek, do you want me to start? He's like, do it. I was like, I don't have a routine. I don't know what to do. I'm not going to be any good at this. He sits down. I wish I kept the piece of paper. He wrote down pretty much. He's like, this is what you're going to do day by day. And to the end of my career, I pretty much followed that routine. So from 2000, that had been 13 through 2000, so 9, 10 years, I did the same routine.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Derek's great.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and that's pretty good, and I do wish you kept that. But still, it's in your head, so that's good enough. But you know, when we're talking about this second round pick traded for all these guys, and then you said you sort of flipped the switch when you went to Korea, but was it? Could you look back about thinking about how heavy that was? And because this is a fascinating sort of part of baseball, the mentality of it. We just last week, we had in Daniel Bard, who's the ultimate. I mean, the ultimate, like you talk about powering through something.
Yeah.
He may be the only documented like guy to come out on the other side of yips. So, I mean, but for you, can you think back about like how heavy that was?
Going to Korea?
Well, no, just about like how heavy it was about like the expectations before you went and before you said, okay, you know what, I'm more going to worry about my family. I'm going to do my best. But it's just a whole different mentality.
Yeah, it was, I think in the moment, I didn't realize the magnitude of it. But looking back, I can see how big of a deal I had made it to be because it was important. You know, you have dreams, you have goals, you have aspirations of being playing 10 years in the big leagues, having a Hall of Fame career, and to kind of see you're bouncing around, you know, you start to become this like journeyman type player. And then, you know, that last trade, or I guess it would have been, I was designated when I was with Oakland, the opportunity to Korea came up. You know, we have a daughter that's 18 months. We have a son that's 8 days old. And it's like, what do we do as a family? Like, we have 24 hours to make this decision. You know, the team's going to pull the offer. What do we do? And it ended up being the best decision that we made as a family.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
8 days old?
There's another podcast. Actually, it's probably about 8 hours old now that I think about it. But, I mean, there's another podcast for you just in that. The hospital room negotiations with my wife. Holding our newborn. Hey, are we going to move all the way across the world to go to Korea?
All right, so we don't have to do 8 hours, but let's do like, okay, so your wife is in the hospital room.
Yep.
With your son.
Our son. Okay. So December December 16th, my agent calls me and says, hey, you might have an opportunity to go to Korea. We're discussing with them right now. We don't know how it's going to play out. December 17th, we go in at like 5 in the morning to have our son. He's born around, maybe he's 11, I think. And we get to the room after she has him, and it's probably like 3 or 4 in the afternoon, and my agent's like, hey, we have an offer from the Korean team, but we have 24 hours to decide. Or they're pulling the offer, and they're going to offer it to somebody else.
And this was for more money than you did ever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, so I'm on Google. I'm like, where is Busan, South Korea? Like, am I going to a third world country? Like, am I going to have running water? Like, I knew nothing about Korea. And just having to make that decision as a family was hard. But, you know, we had decided with all those trades, it was like, well, at least we know where I'm going to be. And if I stink, then they're just going to send me back home. But for the time being, we're going to be in Korea, the size of Mississippi. We can make it work, even with a newborn.
And then, you know, did you know when you got that, when you started playing there, did you know, and whether maybe it was because of your mentality, like you said, you sort of had let go a little bit, prioritize other things, or maybe it's just the way that they played. I don't know. Did you feel like, okay, you know what? I found a groove right away. I mean, I'm going to be pretty good here.
Yes and no. You know, the mentality, I remember having a conversation with somebody that had been there for a few years, and they said, you know, the mindset you have when you go to Asia has to be, I'm going to finish my career here. Like, you can't have one foot in Korea and one foot in the United States, because you can't perform that way. And so, my mindset was to be there for as long as I could, embrace the culture, embrace my teammates, embrace the fans, embrace the city, just like kind of like embrace everything. And I had my first year I had some success. I was pretty successful. My second year I was terrible. And somehow they wanted to bring me back, but that was when we had our daughter. So I decided to stay in the US. But yeah, I mean, we just really, you know, I remember the first game that I pitched, I felt like my heart was going to beat out of my chest because of the atmosphere. And I'm like, this is a regular season game. This is unbelievable. So the atmosphere, I mean, probably some of my most memorable experiences were in Korea as a baseball player.
So like I said, in 2019, when you won the MVP, I mean, it must be something to dominate a league, no matter what it is, right? Dominate, to basically be at the top of the mountain, to be walked down. I don't know, like, what it was like to walk down the street, said, oh, yeah, you know, there's the best pitcher in the league. I mean, what was that? Because I don't need to tell you this. This is a whole lot different than, you know, being in whatever, Albuquerque or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. What was that like?
I mean, you can go back to 2018. You know, I won their equivalent of the Cy Young in 2018. So here I am, you know, I think I had won like 15 or 16 games that year. I had a 2 ERA, 2-something ERA. And so, like, coming into 2019, I'm like, I can't do any better than that. Like, how am I going to do any better than I did the year before? Well, I won 20 games. I had a lower ERA, you know, innings pitched, all my numbers were way better. And, you know, like I said, you're in a country the size of about Mississippi. There's 10 teams. You're on TV every night. I'm on one of the most well-known teams in the country. And we live in Times Square of Korea, basically. And so, like, I'm going down, I'm getting on one of the busiest train stops. So I rode the train to the field every day. It's one stop. So I'm on the train, like, you know, we couldn't go out without people, you know, I stick out, you know, I'm a big guy. Yeah. And you're on TV. And so it was a lot of fun.
You get a lot of free stuff. I always want free. A lot of free stuff.
None of the free stuff fit me. So it was disappointing. everything was too small.
It's the thought that counts.
We'd get some. we'd get some, they'd bring the, honestly, they like my kids more than they like me. So like they'd always bring us like free sodas and stuff for the kids. And we go to dinner. So
then I remember when, you know, you were a free agent and you came back, there was a lot of talk about, you know, this is going to be a guy who is really going to be a great acquisition for someone. You know, when we go down the free agent list every offseason, we're always identifying people, like, and you were one of them, your name kept coming up. So you come back to Milwaukee. And so how had baseball, Major League Baseball, changed since you left, or had it? I don't know.
I would say it's a lot younger. You know, being my, I think my first or second spring training, I was one of the oldest players that would have been, what, 32, 31 or 32 at that point. And that was like, you know, guys were just hitting their prime, 31, 32. That was like what, you know, our entire roster was made up. My first year at the Dodgers was like 30-year-olds. So, and then, you know, I kind of left right on the cusp of like the analytics.
Yeah.
So I learned some of it in Korea when I was there, but, you know, much more prevalent. The way decisions are made, the way, you know, game plans are put together. There's just a lot more data now. Those are the two primary differences, but
did you like it? This is maybe you talk about 8-hour podcast. I mean, this is where baseball's going and the good and the bad. And in analytics, obviously creeps into it about, you know, the delivering of analytics. Is it too much? Is it too little? Whatever it is. What was your take on where baseball, where you found baseball was going? Just from, and it doesn't have to be right or wrong. It's just your opinion, you know?
You know, I think like anything, I think there's ebbs and flows to life. And so what maybe on the front end, there might have been like an over.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
They overvalued some of the analytics and you know, the quantitative side of analytics, and they lost the qualitative. And so what I think teams are seeing now maybe is that the quantitative stuff is good. It's great to have data. It's great to have, you know, to develop information that you can use in decision-making, but you also need that qualitative, like the intangibles, the stuff that can't be measured. The stuff that, you know, guys that have watched thousands and thousands of baseball games, the stuff that they get to see, they feel, they sense. So I think you're starting to see kind of like this blend of, you have people that understand the data, but you also have baseball people.
Hmm.
And now those are starting to blend together, which I think is going to be really, really neat for baseball moving forward. Just because it, you know, the data is a tool. Analytics are a tool, just like anything else. And when you utilize the right tool in the right situation, it can make for great outcomes and results.
Oh man, I'm so glad you said that. Like, I am 100% with you, and I think it's cyclical, right? I mean, it's I've talked to guys about this, because one of the big conversations is clubhouse like dynamics. And you know, I'm gonna bring the second time we're gonna bring up Porcello. Well, Porcello was a perfect example of this. This guy was a leader on the team. This guy was a guy, a leader in the rotation. But the way that baseball was going, not only in terms of spin rate stuff, but in terms of when he left, it was, oh, you can't throw a two-seamer. You can't just do that. You know, you have to. And And I've talked about a lot of guys about clubhouse, the importance of clubhouse guys, and how you're going to prioritize the guy with the really, really good measurables who has the six ERA over the guy who maybe you've had results or just is a good guy that you know is going to get you through the season. So I do agree with you. I think that it's seeing some of the acquisitions and some of these analytically based teams. I mean, I don't know if you see the same thing. I see that they're picking up a few more of these guys, you know,
and it's important, you know, as the game moves younger and younger and younger, you know, we have, I think about in AAA last year, we had a huge number of guys that were under 23, 24 years old. Well, development doesn't stop when you get to the big leagues. Like, you don't just show up day one and you're a big leaguer. So you need people that have been there. You need people to help guide them along that process. And, you know, that's what I was so lucky to have. Like, you know, I think about when I was with the Dodgers. I mean, we had Chad Billingsley, Ted Lilly, you know, Kershaw had been there for 3 or 4 years. But like before that, he had had, you know, Greg Maddux and played with, you know, we had Hiroki Kuroda when I was there. And then I get traded to Philly and it's like Roy Halladay, Cliff Lee, Cole Hamels, Jonathan Papelbon, you know, Jimmy Rollins, Ryan Howard. Then you could go to Texas, guys like Derek Lowe. And like the list goes on and on and on. And I think about how lucky I was to have those people in my career. And as you've seen the game move younger, you lose out. You almost arrest the development of younger guys because they don't have anybody that's gone ahead of them now to help teach them and help show them. So, you know, for organizations, I think it's really, really important to have those types of guys helping in those roles.
Oh, yeah, it's such a good point. And by the way, I'm going to tell Papelbon you mentioned his name. That'll make him feel good.
Jonathan, he'd give me rides home after games when I got traded to Philly. We'd always stop at this little diner in Philly. But he's great. He was so good to me. So he was really, really good.
Well, he's our officially gambling correspondent for the Baseballs and Boring brand. And B, he's also in our fantasy football league, which probably Kyle Kendrickson, he was a former Philly.
Played with Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle Kendrick, Mike Adams was former Philly. So they were all in it. They all lost. Papelbon, yes. He, as you can imagine, the text chains are not for public consumption.
They would not be. I mean, that's one of the things, you know, I loved about Jonathan was that, like, it was whatever you see on TV is what you get in real life. Like there's no, it's just him, you know, that's what I loved about him. It's like, oh, what'd you think? Like, I'm like, it's him. It's just, that's when you know, it's eye to eye, it's intense, you know? So he was really, really good to me when I was.
Yeah. I've always said this covering, not that anyone cares, but you know, I always said this covering people, covering athletes, everyone's flawed, right? Everybody's flawed. And everyone comes from different backgrounds. I can't go into a clubhouse and say, hey, everyone's from Essex, Massachusetts. No, you know, but I just like genuine people. Like covering Ortiz, honestly, that's what I liked about him. Yeah. You know, he got in trouble sometimes for being genuine, but he was a genuine guy. He said what he said, you know, and a lot of those guys like Papelbon, we just did the book together. Joe Kelly was another one. I mean, they are who they are. That's all I ask. So where do you go from here? Like you had said, you know, this is just the beginning, which it is.
Yeah.
This is one of the things, and if we here at the Baseballs and Boring brand can help in any form or fashion, we are here for you. What do you want to do?
First thing is I need to set up either a 1-3-1 or a 5-out offense for my 9-year-old daughter's basketball team.
Ooh.
If you know anybody that wants to help install that with me,
listen. I think there is a reason we're doing this podcast. I am a varsity high school basketball coach, so
yes.
I will. This is speaking of eight hour podcasts.
No, that's you know, I've as my career went on, you know, when our kids were younger, we took them wherever we wanted. You know. we just could do that. They didn't have, sounds terrible, but you know, they didn't have really have friends. They didn't have activities. It was just like, they were just with us. And then last year, you know, our daughter's playing softball, our son's playing baseball, our youngest daughter's in T-ball. And just missing out on that stuff. You know, it was only 1 year, but I'm so excited to be there for that now.
Oh man.
You know, so
coaching's addictive, man. It's the best.
I love it. It's so much, especially the younger kids. It's so much fun to see the progress and development. I love it. So we're in our second session of basketball right now. I feel like we have basketball practice 9 nights a week at this point, but but it's fun. We're in Indiana. You got to play basketball in Indiana, right?
That's what you do. Yeah, come on.
That's what we do.
Absolutely. So were you a good hoop player in high school?
I played intramurals.
In college?
No, in high school. High school. We had intramurals. Yeah,
oh, man, that is serious high school basketball.
Yeah, I wish basketball, I mean, I was only one sport. When I got to high school, I just played one sport.
Okay.
I wish, that's like what my one regret is, that I wish I'd have played football and basketball in high school. I just didn't want to have to do the conditioning for basketball.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. I mean, I told our high school basketball coach was my accounting teacher, and I was like, if I can come and not do the conditioning, I'll do it. And I just don't want to.
it's what every coach wants to hear.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. From a 14-year-old kid. Yeah, coach, I'm setting that.
I'm good. I'm good with the running because you know in basketball when you need to run, come on. I mean, seriously,
ever.
So after you get through basketball season, is there anything you want to do? Do you want to get into coaching? Do you want to get into broadcasting? Do you want to get into podcasting? Do you want to, what do you want to do?
I signed a 2-year deal with our little league. Pay is not very good. I'm the president of our little league. So I'm going to be
president.
I'm going to be handling that. Yeah. President.
Oh, that was a bad move. So, that's a lot of administrative work.
Nah, that's good. I love it. I love it already. It's fun.
You have to deal with the umpires. You have to
I don't know. I'll take some time to figure that out. I think I want to be around the game. I think I have something to offer, maybe. But, you know, there's still a lot of really good relationships that I have with guys that I've played with. And just continuing to talk to those guys, be an ear for them, that's what I love to do. Love to help guys, younger players. And I'm sure there'll be something for me in that regard.
There's no question. Like you said, I mean, you've touched – so many people's lives and careers and that means a lot to, as you found out when you release retirement. I mean, it means a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you were able to sort of experience that. And most importantly, I'm glad that you were able to come on the podcast.
Yeah. So
if you ever want to talk baseball, listen,
we might need to talk basketball.
We'll do that after. We'll do that. That's the post-show podcast.
There you go. Perfect.
All right,
Josh. After hours.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly!